I want to preach today about an infinite hope. An infinite hope. Ever since Adam was privileged to name everything God created, we have been moved by names. A name brings up history. A name brings up background. Some names cause a visceral reaction. What comes in your mind when you hear the name Adolf Hitler? What strikes you when you hear the name Martin Luther King? Names are so important that parents go to great lengths to come up with names for their children. Some children are named after grandparents, in-laws. Years ago, people named men, boy children, after presidents. Franklin Delano, Theodore Roosevelt. Those names meant something in history. And a name has something to do with character. You can either live up to a name or live down to a name. Names are so important, parents, that you ought to be careful how you name your children. Because some names that are difficult to pronounce may not make it at the employment office. Names bring up history. In this text, Peter and John in chapter 3 have gone to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there is a man laid at the beautiful gate begging alms. Peter and John say to the man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." The Bible says the man took up his bed and he walked. The chief priests, the elders, the council heard that Peter and John had healed this man on the Sabbath. They brought them in before the council. But before they brought them in, Peter had an opportunity along with John to preach again. And In chapter two, 3,000 were added to the church. When Peter got through preaching in chapter 4, another 5,000 had come to faith in Christ. And they brought them in and said to them, "Preach no longer in that name." And Peter said to him, "We can only speak the things that we have both seen and heard. We are not going to obey you. We are going to obey God." They flogged them. They whipped them. And they counted it joy. They were glad. They were thankful that they suffered reproach for the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, "This Jesus that you crucified is the stones that the builders rejected. And it is in that name that we cry out today, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's a lot of talk in theological circles about whether or not Jesus is the only way to God. Learned preachers, scholarly preachers and theologians are debating whether or not Jesus Christ is the only way. Much discussion is being held in academic circles. People with far more learning than myself are sitting around discussing whether or not there's some other way to get to God. I was listening to a dialogue of some politicians the other day, and one of them, who I used to respect, said that he believes in God, he believes in the Bible, but he doesn't believe in a literal translation of the scripture because God does not talk to us that way anymore. And then some other preachers of some renown are saying that Jesus is one of the ways, and it's very narrow for us to think that Jesus is just the only way, because how can we know that? Well, let me tell you how I know it. The Bible says there is no other name. I wish I had somebody who read the Bible. Jesus said, I am not one of the ways. I am not a part of the truth. I'm not someone you add to make your life better. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. That's what I believe. I wish I had another believer here. I believe that the only way to see God's face is through his son Jesus Christ. Jesus came and showed us, because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father also, for I and my Father are one. Jesus is God on my level. Jesus is God comprehensible. Jesus is God iconographically. Jesus is God capitalized. Jesus is God brought low so that you and I can understand him. There is no other name. I don't care what the scholars are saying. I don't care what the academics are proclaiming. I don't care what they're teaching in seminary. I believe the only name that saves is Jesus Christ. And he qualifies to save, first of all, because of the price he paid. I was lost and on my way to hell. I was condemned forever because I was estranged from God. I was far off from God. I was cut off from the covenants of promise. I was a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. I was a bastard child. That's what the Bible calls anybody who does not know God through Jesus Christ. I was a bastard child. But then God sent Jesus to adopt me. I'm not naturally born into the family of Abraham. I had to be adopted into the family. And as an adopted child, I have the same rights as the children of Abraham themselves. Let me see if I can make that make more sense. Any child that's born to you, you have to take them home. I don't care how shriveled up their little face is. I don't care how kinky and knotty their hair is. You gotta take them home. But when you adopt a child, you go get them. Somebody ought to help me preach here. Of course, I had to be born again because my natural man cannot see God, so he had to supernaturally implant and engraft his spirit in me. But God went further than my being born again. He adopted me into his family so that every right that Jesus has, I have. Somebody should have shouted right there. And he paid the price for me to have that right. And since he paid the price for me, I've been bought with a price. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He paid the price for my sin. I need somebody here who might think you're not that bad. You're a nice person. You're a good person. You've never committed any crimes. You've never raped anybody. You've never robbed a bank. You've never cheated on your taxes. You've never had a drink. You never smoked weed. You've never been out past 12 o'clock. You've always crossed every T and dotted every I. You have made sure that you walk right. You drive the speed limit. You don't overeat. You don't overindulge. You go to bed at a reasonable hour. You wake up. You go to church. You take care of your children. You are a nice person. But without Christ, you're going to hell. Because you don't go to heaven because you're a nice person. Because if that was the case, many of us would be lost this morning. You don't go to heaven because you've done everything right. Because if that were the case, the other half of us would be in hell. You go to heaven because you've accepted Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross for your salvation. What can wash? I wish I had somebody who's been redeemed. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the price he paid. And then, brothers and sisters, we have hope because of the promises he made. That was the price he paid. But we have hope this morning because of the promises he made. He promised that anybody can be saved. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountain of life freely. Anybody, a liar, a gambler, a stripper, a whoremonger, a homosexual, a drug addict, an alcoholic, a rapist, a murderer, a gangster, whoever wants to come, the doors are flung wide open. There is no restriction. There is no boundary. There is no person so bad that God can't save. And there is no person so good that they don't need to be saved. He promised that anybody can be saved. And then he promised, any sin can be forgiven. The only sin that is unpardonable is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you're lost already. So God cannot redeem somebody who does not believe that God is able to redeem. So if you blasphemed against the Spirit, saying that God cannot save, you've already doomed yourself. But there's no sin that God cannot forgive. You can't out-sin God's grace. I'm glad about that, because my sins have been grievous, but God's grace has been sufficient. There's some people in here this morning who could help me testify. I've not only thought some low-down thing, I've done some low-down thing since I've been a Christian. See how quiet you got right there? Because you think when you become a Christian, you think no evil and see no evil and hear no evil. But even Christians sin and fall short of the glory of God. But grace? Thank you, Jesus, for mercy. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. He looked. Maybe you're wondering why these people shout so much on Sunday morning. Because they got so much to shout about. Because God covered you. God would not let you be exposed. Somebody ought to help me shout here. God heard the devil accuse you of a sin that you were guilty of. But Jesus stood up at the right hand of God and said, I paid for that on the cross. So I'm going to leave you sanctimonious people alone this morning. I'm going to leave you holier than thou people alone this morning. I'm talking to the crooks in here like me, who got so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. I could have been dead. I should have been dead. My sin, for the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Brothers and sisters, I've been washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb. I've been redeemed from the curse of the enemy. And I give God glory. I shout hallelujah this morning that if I don't see another day, He washed my sins away. He promised that I have eternal life. That's a promise. Let not your heart be troubled. I need a Bible reader to help me. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go Not if, meaning I may or may not go, but if I go, meaning since I'm already going, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Somebody ought to help me preach it. We know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have another building, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heaven. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For when the trumpet of God shall sound, we will take off mortality and put on immortality. Take off corruption and put on incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, somebody ought to help me preach it. Serving the Lord will pay off. Giving God praise will pay off. Living for Jesus will pay off. Because when this life is over, the elders in my home used to say, I'm going home on the morning train, because the evening train might be too late. I'm going to work while it's day, because the night is coming when no man can work. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He's qualified because of the price he paid, the promises he made, but finally, the plans he laid. You want to know what Jesus is doing right now? At 10:50 on a Sunday morning, let me tell you what Jesus is doing right now. Right this very moment, he's at the right hand of God, interceding. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me, that our faith would fail not. You know what else Jesus is doing? He's at the right hand of God, and Satan is presenting himself before God with accusations about us. That's true. Everything the devil accuses you and I of is true. It's true, but it won't stick. Because every time he brings it up, Jesus said, I took care of that one Friday. Somebody ought to help me shout right here. Because whatever the devil throws at me, Jesus deflects it with his blood. The blood of Jesus not only cleanses me, but covers me. I got the I got the title of this little sermon from a book I'm almost finished reading. I just bought it Thursday, and I'm almost finished reading. I got two chapters left. I'm mad that I'm almost finished reading it. That's how good a book it is. It's by a man who is now 59 years old. His name is Anthony Graves, and he lives here in Houston. Anthony Graves spent 18 and a half years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Anthony was condemned to death row for a crime that he did not commit. He was nowhere in the vicinity of the crime. He was in Brenham at the time, and the crime happened in Somerville. A man by the name of Robert Carter killed six people. He stabbed them to death, set the house on fire, and lied and said that Anthony Graves was in on the crime. The district attorney at that time just had to condemn somebody. The Texas Rangers investigated the crime, and they pinned it on Robert Carter and Anthony Graves, and Anthony was nowhere in the vicinity. He went through the appellate process, and he was brought to the death chamber twice. But every night, he talked to his mother on the phone. And his mother said, "Anthony, just keep praying. God is going to work it out." His two sons, one of them had sickle cell anemia, almost died. Anthony heard about that and almost lost his mind in that prison cell. And then he determined that the state of Texas is either going to exonerate me or they're going to execute me. But I'm not going to confess to a crime that I did not commit. And every night, he called his mother, and the state of Texas makes it so expensive for inmates to call out. It's $6.50 a minute to call out of Huntsville Prison. And Anthony said he called his mother every night for 18 and a half years, and she never refused his call. Because there's something about a mother's love that she doesn't care how much the phone bill is. She talked with her boy every night. And every night for 18 and a half years, he would never end the conversation without asking his mother the same question. "Mama, what did you cook tonight?" And his mama would start telling him about some peas or some greens. And before she would get to the end of her menu, he said, "Stop, I don't want to hear no more. I love you. Have a good night." They hung up the phone. 18 and a half years, he asked his mama the same question. "What did you cook tonight?" A journalism professor at the University of St. Thomas here in Houston, she and her students got interested in Anthony's case. They took it up and went all the way to the appellate court, passed the appellate court process to the Supreme Court, and Anthony was finally exonerated. All charges dropped. Anthony had never seen or talked on a cell phone. 48 hours, the show, 48 hours, was at the prison just to do a segment on his case, not knowing he was being exonerated. When they got there, the cameraman from 48 hours gave Anthony his phone to call his mother. Anthony took the phone, called his mother, and they talked a while, and he said, "Mama, what you cooking for dinner?" And his mother started telling him what she was cooking. And the mama stopped and said, "Anthony, you're not stopping me from telling you what I'm cooking." And he said, Mama, the reason I'm not stopping you from telling you what I'm cooking, what you're cooking, is because tonight I'm gonna sit at the table with you. Can I help somebody? I was convicted of sin. Everything the devil said about me was true. I have no business sitting at the table because I'm lost and on my way to hell. But one Friday, on a hill called Calvary, Jesus paid the price for my sin, and now I have a seat at the table. Anthony is at the table because he was not guilty. I'm at the table and I was guilty. Jesus did not die for people who did not sin. Jesus didn't die for people who were not guilty. He died for us because we deserve execution. But he took my place on the cross and died the death of a criminal that I might go free. And so now one of these days, I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to feast on the milk and honey some of these days. Because I, unlike Anthony Graves, was guilty. But in my guilt, he became sin for us. The righteous for the unrighteous. The godly for the ungodly. And now with all of my guilt, with all of my shame, with all of my baggage, with all of my past, I've got a seat at the table because he's prepared a banquet for a sinner like me.